Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 30. Most of you, or some of you at least, probably recognize that reference, and a well-known verse if you're familiar and have grown up around soul winning and a soul winning church. So let's stand as we read together this verse, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Heavenly Father, help us as we study this, Lord, count another blessing tonight. Lord, I pray that you would also help us as this ties into our missions emphasis month, Lord. And we pray, dear God, that you would use it to clarify some things in our heart. Help us, Lord, to be more committed to a biblical viewpoint, Lord, of the church, the Great Commission, all that needs to be done, Lord. And we pray, as John did, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want you to come, but we also, Lord, want to be busy until you come. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 30, there's two parts of that, two phrases in that verse, and both of them are important. Most of the time, when an independent fundamental Baptist preacher reads this, he's going to preach on the last part of the verse, "He that wins souls is wise." And you know what? I'm all for that. Let's preach on soul winning. It's important that we keep that vision in front of the church and in front of God's people. And it is wise to win souls, and you must become wise to win souls. And thank God for the emphasis in these many years on soul winning here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church from my father, who encouraged us to be busy about witnessing and always had visitation programs, always had door-to-door programs, bus ministry, all the things that we do to try to go out and get the gospel to lost people. But I want to have you look at the entire verse tonight. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight, the blessing of producing fruit trees. The blessing of producing fruit trees. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, God has allowed Blessed Hope Baptist Church to not only produce fruit, but to produce fruit trees. Every time I have to field a question as to our separatist stand, or every time I hear criticism about our unwillingness to, and I don't know who came up with this phrase, it's cute, engage the culture, our unwillingness to engage the culture, go into all the world and engage the culture. Every time I feel a little bit of pressure to compromise or to drop the standards of holiness that the Bible has set, I want to remind myself and remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I want to teach you the truths of this proverb. Let me give them to you. Number one, soul winning produces fruit. Soul winning produces fruit. Number two, righteousness produces fruit trees. Let me say it again. Soul winning produces fruit. Righteousness produces fruit trees. Now, is it important to produce fruit? Absolutely. John 15, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So soul winning produces fruit, and fruit is good, and it's important. And Jesus said that's one of the primary reasons we're here, and that's why we ought to learn to abide in Christ, so that we can bear fruit when it comes to this matter of witnessing and producing fruit for the kingdom of God. But folks, it's not only important that we emphasize that the importance of soul winning and it producing fruit, but this verse also says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, there are churches that produce fruit, but they never produce fruit trees. It's good to produce fruit. It's better to produce fruit and fruit trees. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about tonight. I want to encourage our church to help always contribute to an environment here. A Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is conducive not only to producing fruit, but to producing fruit trees. You see, I want young people to leave this place and go out and not just produce fruit, but become a fruit tree. We have a lot of young people from this ministry that are out there now in full-time Christian service, serving the Lord in different places. Sometimes we forget what's going on and what God is doing here. We got a little reminder when we got to see Miss Rebecca last Sunday morning. Of course, grew up in this church. Went off to Bible college, met Derek. Both of them came back after they graduated, spent a couple years here, then went to Frenchtown, Montana to start a church. If we just won Rebecca to the Lord, we would have produced fruit. But you know what? We also now have produced a tree that is producing fruit. That's what we want to do. Dave and Ashley, Napu'u'u'noa. Is that close? Is it pretty close? Nop? Is it Nop or Nap? Nop. Napu'u'u'noa? Is that pretty good? Whew. Man, I'm feeling good about it. Most people don't know this, but he's from Bangladesh. And yes, and we don't say a lot about that, but yeah, you didn't know that, but he is. He's an immigrant from Bangladesh, and Ashley couldn't find a decent kid, so she had to marry this kid from Bangladesh, but that's good. It seems to be working out. But Dave and Ashley, they're the most confused, most unfaithful church members that we have. They half the time they don't know who their pastor is, what the church they belong to, where they're supposed to be. But they drive up every weekend up to Clinton, Indiana, and we don't get to see them a lot because of that. But they're up there every weekend helping Brother King in that church. They really can't yet afford a full-time youth guy, but they needed somebody to help. And so, you know what Blessed Hope Baptist Church said? We'll take a couple of our fruit trees. Did you ever think you'd be called a fruit tree? Well, we thought we'd take a couple of our fruit trees. I'm just going to get in more and more trouble the deeper I go here. And we'll send them up there. And what a blessing that is, folks. Pray for them, by the way. They're at the point where we need to probably move them that direction. And so that they can be more effective in what they're doing up there. And we've got some decisions to make. And Blessed Hope, I may come to you and say, let's help them for a while. Would you be open to that idea? Helping a couple of our kids in this church up there that can't quite afford things yet. And so maybe we could be a blessing to another church in the area and a blessing to our own. So I may be talking to you about that pretty soon here. Gerald and Hannah, we mention them from time to time, the church plant over there in Bloomfield. And Hannah grew up here in the church, went off Bible college, met Gerald. Now you know what? We'd been great if we just produced fruit. But now they're fruit trees. I got on Paul and Sarah Chapman's. I don't do it very often, but I got on their website today. You know why I get on there? Just for the fun of it. Honestly, just to look and say, praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. And Paul Chapman, you know, was saved. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, right there on the back row, that pew right back there. Back row right there. I preached a youth revival, preached that night. He fell under conviction that he was lost, went and found his bus captain afterwards, said, Brother Bo, I don't know if I'm saved. Brother Bo walked back in. They sat on that back pew, and he won him to Christ right there. And he's pastoring in Wakefield, Rhode Island. Paul and Sarah Chapman. I got on the website, and I wanted to see a picture of their kids and stuff, so I hit the staff page. Guess who's on there? Caleb and Elizabeth Hall. I don't know if this whole thing's a fabrication or whether he really got married. Is this for real? She's awful cute. You sure? Is she blind? Is there anything wrong with her? Because I don't know how Caleb pulled that off, to be honest with you. I have no idea. But another young man that grew up here, got saved through the bus ministry, and he's out there now working as an assistant pastor underneath Paul, his brother, out in Wakefield, Rhode Island. We just recently, most of you were here, brought two of our young ladies, Kelsey Hall, and she's down teaching a Christian school now in Arkansas and doing a great job. And Lindsay Klein in Tampa, Florida. I talked to Lindsay, by the way, on Saturday and just touched base with her. How you doing? How's it going? And tried to call Kelsey, but she's a Hall, so they never answer. Amen. Come on now. That's good preaching. And but I got a chance to talk to Lindsay, and she's doing real well and excited, and just folks, I wish I could have just taped it and played it for you. I said, "How you doing? Are you hitting any bumps in the road? How's it going?" Boy, she's so excited. She said, "Preacher, again and again, God's confirmed this is exactly where He wanted me to be," and just settling in and doing a great job. Most of you may not know this, but Tabitha, of course, you know that Tabitha's getting married, our daughter, to A.J. Nichols this August. Well, their youth pastor in their church, Brother Nichols' church, just resigned to go take a position in another church, and they hired A.J. now to be their youth pastor. So when Tabitha gets, would you pray for her about this? When Tabitha gets married now, she's not just entering into a new marriage, but she's actually going to be the youth pastor's wife down in Sacramento, California. And so we just found out about that. That's just transpired in the last couple of weeks. So we're praying for her. And of course, right here on our own staff, you know, Jonathan Reiser grew up right here, folks, and married Alyssa. And they're here on staff with us now. And it'd been great if we just reached that young man for Christ. But it's one thing producing fruit. It's another thing training, producing fruit trees. And Chad and Rachel Gordon, same thing. Chad grew up here and went to Bible college, met Rachel, serving on staff here. The other Rachel Gordon is back here on staff at our school. And, you know, the opportunity we're having now to send out Jerry and Becky Jackson. And folks, what I want to tell you is this. Listen to me. Whatever kind of church it takes to be, to do that, that's what I want to be. Well, preacher, there's other churches that aren't as separated, and they don't have this, and they don't have that, and they're seeing people saved. I know. And that's okay. By the way, good. Praise the Lord. Hey, amen. Good. But I want you to understand something. You know what? This matter of what the Bible talks about when it comes to righteousness and holiness unto God, you know what it does? It produces fruit trees, not just fruit. Okay, it produces fruit trees. Let's not forget this. Now, what's this have to do with missions? Folks, listen to me. I'm glad we send money to missionaries. But you know what? We need to be sending something else out of this church besides money. I'm glad we can every once in a while go and give some labor to some ministry somewhere. But you know what we need to send also along the way? We need to send our own young people out of here. We need to send fruit trees out of here. And so the Bible says that if we're going to do that, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Within our own ministry here, and I know I just listed, and I may have even overlooked somebody, and I hope I didn't, but within our own ministry here, we've got young people that's grown up here. And you know what? They are fruit trees. They may not have gone and worked for somebody else, but they're working right here as laymen in this church, but they're producing fruit week in and week out. I got kind of tickled when I wrote down the names of all of our bus captains. And Brother John Reiser, of course, is still taking that route until Brother Bo can find somebody else. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he told you? Has that been, 25 years ago he came to Brother John and said, "Now, I don't need you to be on this route real long, but if you'll just take it until I can find somebody." And 25 years later, not only has he not found somebody, but he's not even here trying to find anybody anymore. I think he's up in heaven laughing at you because you fell for it. So Brother John's kind of the old timer of the bunch. But then I got to look, you know what? Jeff Skills grew up right here at this church. And Levi Hall grew up right here at this church. And Jeffrey Reiser grew up right here at this church. And Greg Burcham's still trying to grow up right here. Still trying to grow up right here at this church here. And praise the Lord. You can't reach kids if you can't relate to them. Come on now. And not just bus captains, folks, but we could spend a lot of time here. I want to kind of get to some things and give you some things here. But we could spend, I mean, you look around all over this place, and you know, the workforce that's starting to take over key positions and important and producing fruit, you know what? At one time, it hadn't been that long ago, they were just a bunch of little kids running around here. But you see, they got into a church. It didn't just say, "We want to produce fruit, we want to produce fruit trees." Now, folks, listen, compromise ain't going to do it. Going the way of the world's not going to do it. Why in the world would they think they're serious about it if we cut corners? if we tone down the message, if we said, we want to be Christian, but there's really nothing wrong with this, but you know what, there is something wrong with this, and this. Why would they think we're serious about anything? You see, so I was thinking within our own ministry, I was thinking of the young people we have in Bible college right now preparing, getting ready to take off, getting ready to go. We're going to have several graduate in the next couple years, take off, go somewhere, whatever the Lord has for them. That's exciting. We've got, let me just say this, I want to encourage your heart. And I don't say a whole lot about them. I think sometimes the worst thing to do is shine too bright of a spotlight on some of our teens, because it just seems like about the time you do, the devil draws a target on them. But I'm going to tell you something, man, we got some outstanding young people right now. And they're just, you know what, they're just quietly preparing. They're just quietly getting ready. There's a seriousness about the things of the Lord with them, and they're just kind of getting themselves ready in their heart, getting ready to go on the next thing, and getting ready to serve the Lord. I have no doubt if you hunt them down, many of these kids, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, God's going to have them plugged in somewhere, and you know what? They're not just going to be fruit that was produced. They're going to be a fruit tree that's producing fruit. So that's exciting. Now, let me just talk to you, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I just want to chat with you tonight. And I really mean that. I'm going to kind of take one of these times where I just say, listen, I'm not going to have you turn 50 places in your Bible. I'm going to just tell you I've been saved 45 years, and I've been preaching over 30, and I've worked tons with young people, and I've made some observations, and I'm going to exhort you a little bit and encourage the church here that there are reasons that we do what we do around here. There are reasons we draw lines where we draw lines. There's reasons we don't compromise where a lot of other churches have compromised. There's a reason we don't wink, wink, oh, well, yeah, everybody does it. Well, if God says not to do it, I don't care what everybody else is doing, let's not do it. God says to do it, I don't care if the whole world's quit, let's get busy and let's do it anyway. And folks, God blesses it when a people take seriously the Word of God and this idea of living a righteous, holy life and stop playing the game and not raise up a bunch of young people where they see a Sunday-only Christianity. And there's a depth to it and a maturity about it and a truth to it and a stand to it. Then you know what? God can start producing some fruit trees out of that situation. Our young people need us here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. I'm preaching the Wednesday night crowd. You're the core crowd. You've got to help with this. They need us to create for them an atmosphere of righteousness, both in our attitudes and our actions. We must mentor before them the right kind of example. So I'm mostly not talking to our preaching to our young people. Now I'm preaching to me and to you and the rest of us, because we honestly need to set that example. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes as if you were a young couple walked in. Maybe you've just had a baby, or you've got a couple little toddlers, and you sit in my office and you looked at me and said, "Preacher, listen, I want my children to grow up, and I want them to serve the Lord, and I want that. I don't mean we want it." Preacher, can you give us some things that would encourage us to make sure that we do right at home, and we do right at church, and we do right in our personal lives? I mean, what kind of an atmosphere must we produce? What do we need to do? What do we need to be for that to happen? I'm just going to give you several things. So just try to give your preacher a hearing tonight, okay? Number one, develop in your home an atmosphere of sincere, authentic Christianity. Develop in your home an atmosphere of sincere, authentic Christianity. Now, I'm going to give you some encouragement here. If it took perfect parents to produce fruit trees, none of us would produce fruit trees, because there's no perfect parents in here. I'm not talking about being perfect. Thank God we don't have to be perfect, or none of us would have a chance. But I am talking about being sincere. I am talking about allowing your young people to see authentic Christianity, consistent Christianity. I mentioned last Sunday night, I think it was, that I've seen young people called into full-time service out of drunkards' homes, and I've seen them called out of full-time Christian service out of fervent Christian homes, authentic, sincere Christian homes, but I've never seen a young person surrender to the Lord's work out of a lukewarm, carnal, hypocritical, pretend Sunday-only type of a home. I just never have seen it. You know why? Because the kids grow up not believing it's real. They grow up learning how to play the game. They figure it out without saying a word. Oh, you go to church and you say this, but when you're in the car on the way home, you say this. You go to church and you pretend to be this, but when you go home, you're something completely different. And pretty soon they're like, you know what? This is a joke. It's a joke. Why would I give my life to something like this? And so what I'm saying, and again, I don't want you to be discouraged by preacher. I'm just, I'm flesh and I'm weak, but I'm not saying perfect. I'm saying, folks, be sincere, be authentic, be consistent. Men, you know what? You ought to be on Monday what you are on Sunday. You ought to be on Tuesday what you are on Sunday. And you know what? If praying's good enough for Sunday, then praying's good enough for Wednesday before you dive in and eat supper. And you know, if the Bible's important on Sunday morning to bring into church, it might be important on Thursday morning for your kids to see you open it up and having a little time of devotion in front of them before you race outside, try to take on the world. You know, they don't need to see a perfect person, but they need to see a real person. Authentic, sincere, consistent Christianity. That's what I'd encourage you to do. Number two, encourage your children to prayerfully consider serving the Lord full time. You mean encourage them? Yeah, I mean encourage. I mean talk to them about it. I'm not saying to try to call them, because only God can call them. But I'd talk to them about it. I'd encourage them about it. I'd bring it up from time to time. I'd say to my young people, and we did growing up, I'd say to the girls from time to time, you know, I don't know what God has for your life. And you know what we want for you? We want the perfect will of God for you. But you know what? You ought to really pray and prepare as if God might call you into full-time Christian service. I didn't know at that time that two of the three girls would end up marrying preachers, but they did. I'm glad I kept pushing them that way and encouraging them that way and talking to them about at least getting ready for it. I'm going to ask you to do something, parents. Encourage your young people. Encourage each of your children to attend 1 year of Bible college after high school. Just encourage them. Just say, hey, just go for a year. Well, I'm not really called to be a preacher. Just go for a year. Then after a year, come back, sit down and talk to me about it. And if you're not, we'll figure out what direction you want to go. But, you know, folks, this idea of full-time Christian service being something that, well, last resort or the last thing I consider, it ought to be the first thing you consider, not the last thing you consider. It ought to be something to pray about. Listen, don't discourage them from surrendering to full-time Christian service. Don't do it. Talk it up. Talk about it. Mention it to them. I'm not saying try to call them. I'm just saying let them know that you'd be pleased if that's what God had for them to do. Number three, get your family involved in soul-winning efforts at your church. I don't know if anything will change the heart of a young person faster than seeing mom and dad out winning souls with them, taking them soul-winning, and seeing that that's important in their life. I mean, you ought to take your son and go knock doors with him, pass out tracts with him. You ought to take your daughter out with you and go. Nothing will change their life like that. You know, they can hear the preacher talk all he wants to about how important soul winning is, but you know what? Until they see mom and dad taken by the hand, say, hey, let's go talk to the neighbor. Let's go across the street. Hey, I'm going to make a couple visits. Why don't you come with me? Well, preacher, I could make it faster if I left the kids at home. Don't leave the kids at home. Put them in the car. Grab one or two of them. If it takes a little longer, it's worth the investment. So take them with you. Get your family involved in soul winning. One of the joys of our life was, me and my wife was, during the older two girls' stint in the youth group, I got to take them every Wednesday with me and Cheryl out on youth soul winning. And I mean, it was a blessing. And a little bit of Tab's teen years. Then we bailed, and then she went with Brother Reiser and Sister Alyssa after that. But and by the way, when my girls were teenagers, and I was assistant pastor here, and had a bunch of responsibilities on Sunday, and had to beg my dad to let me do it, I came to him during those key years in their lives, and I said, Dad, I know I got a zillion things to get ready on Sunday, and I'll come extra early if you need me to, but I want to take my girls, and I want to get on a bus route with them for about a year. I don't want to send them; I want to take them. I want them to see that Dad thinks it's important. So he said, okay, all right, if you feel like it's important, I'll let you do that. And for actually a little over a year, about a year and a half, I did my regular visitation, went and picked up my girls, and we went bus calling Saturday afternoon. And I brought them over here and got on the bus with them and drove to Shelburne and Hymera and Colmont. We picked up kids and got to see people saved. We got to do that together. And it's one thing if you say, okay, go on, kids. Yeah, go to teen soul. It's another thing if mom and dad says, you know what, let's do it with them. And so get your family involved in soul winning efforts at your church. Number four, see to it that your children are consistently exposed to what I call surrender environments. Now that means when we have teen camp, send them. When we have junior camp, send them. When we go to youth conferences, and like Brother Reiser just took the kids to that opportunity, send them. I mean, send them to these places where, you know what, they're going to hear some old-fashioned preaching, and it's going to be a call for young people to give their lives and full dedication and what I call surrender environments. I love it. I love it. I think we ought to make sure our kids get in those situations several times a year just so God has a chance to work in their heart. But let me say something. Look right up here and let me help you with this. We shouldn't have to send them somewhere else for them to be in a surrender environment. I mean, it's good that they do that from time to time. I'm for it. Send them. But you know what? You folks right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to help me create a surrender environment on a regular basis right here at our church. You see, sometimes I think, you know what? Well, that's for camps and that's conferences. No, that ought to be just standard Christianity. You see, what they ought to see in this church is that folks are easily moved and easily touched by the preaching of God's Word. They ought to just see teenagers going to an altar. They ought to see mama go to an altar and daddy go to an altar and grandma go to an altar and grandpa go to the altar. Oh, preacher, if I went forward and knelt at an altar at an invitation, people in the church might think that I'm a sinner. We already know you're a sinner. You know why? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, they might think I messed up. Oh, you don't mess up? You know, folks, what we're putting our finger on right here is the problem. We get this pride about us. We get this idea that the altar's for everybody else. We don't bend our knee. That's for other families. But the problem is we're training our children who's sitting right beside us. We're training them. When the Holy Spirit of God is moving, and sometimes He does in an unusual fashion, one of our services. And yet, there's always the same handful. No matter what the preacher preaches or what God's doing in the midst, somehow He just never taps you on the shoulder. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. What I'm saying is, folks, you're not hurting me. You're hurting your kids. I'm not keeping score. It's not meet for me to keep score. I care less who comes and who doesn't. When I get done preaching, I've done my part. Invitations between you and God. But if the Holy Spirit of God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, why don't you go pray about this or pray for this person, or why don't you get this thing right? And why don't you, obviously, God's working in the church. Why don't you go join your church family? Just go up and pray with them for a while. God's doing something here. Boy, it'd be good if your children got to grow up seeing that. I mean, our girls watched mama at an altar. Our girls watched daddy at an altar. Our girls got to see daddy weep at an altar. Get things right sometimes at an altar. Now, folks, I want them to grow up seeing that. How in the world do I expect them to take these things seriously if I don't take them seriously? And so get your family. See to it that your children, your teens are exposed to these surrender environments. Help create, by the way, a surrender environment. Number whatever. Never allow them. Number five, I think. Never allow them to criticize or hold in disdain God-ordained authority. Never allow them to criticize or hold in disdain God-ordained authority. Preacher, how do young people become rebels? Well, the young people that rebel against God don't start with God. They first start by rebelling against God-ordained authority. And now if you allow this in your home, or God forbid you encourage it in your home, you're sowing the seeds of rebellion against God in the heart of that child. Now, you may just think it's funny that they're rebelling against the teacher, rebelling against the parent, or rebelling against the youth pastor, rebelling against the Sunday school teacher. You may wink, wink, and join in with their criticism about whoever. But I'm telling you, you're sowing seeds in their heart of rebellion against Almighty God. You see, I don't believe you can teach selective rebellion. If you say it's okay to rebel against God-ordained authority, and I mean every God-ordained authority, you know, we don't treat people in our community that are ordained of God. Those authorities are ordained of God, too. You know, when I was growing up, boy, you wanted to get slapped upside the head, you called a policeman a cop. My dad didn't put up with it. You know what? That person was in a place of authority. They were ordained by God. They were there for our safety. We weren't allowed to. You know what? We came back home griping about the school teacher. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something else. We got straightened out right away. You don't talk down authority. Well, preacher, I just don't believe this. I know. How's things going? I know you don't. How's it going? How's it going? I was listening to evangelist Hal Hightower preach a message about two or three months ago, and it's while he was still preaching it when he pastored the church there in Lebanon, Missouri, before he went into full-time evangelism. But he was preaching on a Sunday night, and he was pleading with his people. He finally made this statement. He said, "Folks, listen to me. Parents, please listen to me. I'd rather you just take him out of the school than allow him to come home and criticize the principal and criticize the teacher. I'd rather you just take him out of the school, because you're destroying your kids if you're letting them do that." And you know what? He's right. He's right. Never allow them to criticize or hold in disdain God-ordained authority. And so please take that to heart. Number six, sacrifice often as a family for a local church project or missionary project. Let your children see you sacrifice. Make it a family project. By the way, church, boy, it's easy to preach on this tonight because y'all are just amazing. What we're doing for these missionaries week by. I mean it. God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Every single one of you that's got your family involved, man, you're showing such wisdom. Get your kids involved. Don't just do it quietly off to the side. Talk to your kids about it. What can we do as a family? What can we do together? Let's help the church. Let's help this missionary. When we built this building over there, I'm going to tell you what, that building over there still, I hope it is this in your life, but that building over there is a miracle. And it's a testimony to the grace of God and the faith and generosity of God's people that just stepped out. And we didn't borrow one dime to build that building over there. And that's a million-dollar building. If we'd have hired and paid and had that thing built, turnkey job, it's a million-dollar building. It's 10,000 square feet. $100 a square feet, it's a million-dollar building. And the Lord allowed us to build it for $235,000. And you know what? That $235,000 was raised in a little over 2 years, this little congregation, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I asked you, in that 2 years, we were going to have four sacrificial Sundays. I didn't give you a mount. I didn't. You know what I said? Get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit of God. But do something unusual. And he'll tell you what to do. And I'm going to tell you, the families that did that, their children's faith was built. They got to see it. They got to be a part of that. They got to experience it. Now, that's exciting. When we step forward from time to time, say, let's do something special for a missionary. Let's do something special for this evangelist. There's a need here, folks. We're going to buy a printing press here. You know what? Boy, it'd be good. What wise parents. What a wise daddy to get the family around the table and say, "Hey, did you hear what preacher said? And let's figure out what we can do. Let's pray about this together. Let's make an impact on this thing." You see, families that do that, families get in the car and say, "There he goes again. Now he's talking about money." You know, your kid's not going to end up to be a fruit tree. They may end up fruity, but they're not going to end up being a fruit tree. And sacrifice often when it comes. I mean that. Boy, you're doing a favor to your kids there. Number seven, hold those who serve the Lord in high esteem. Hold them in high esteem. Now, if I sound a little self-serving here, then I'm not, and I'm not trying to be. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to have young people that want to surrender into full-time Christian service if they always hear people in full-time Christian service being criticized. I mean that. Don't sit around criticizing your pastor. Well, you're not perfect. I'll be the first one to admit that. I mean it. I'll say it so you don't have to. I'm not. But you're not doing your kids a favor. You're not. You're not doing them a favor. I know I'm not perfect. I'll be the first one to say it. You know what I always say? Somebody comes up and says, "I know something bad about you." I'll say, "Good, not only one. Get a piece of paper out. I can give you 50 more things bad about me." I mean, you know, folks, put away the mustard. There ain't no hot dog here. All right, I mean, you know what? These feet are of clay too, and so is our staff. But some of you want to make a recreation sport out of just tearing down and criticizing the staff around here. God pity you. I mean it. God pity you. Shame on you. Shame on you. What a wicked thing! And what you're doing is you're hurting your kids. Why would they want to surrender to be a youth pastor when all you do is gripe about the youth pastor and point out you won't ever say anything positive. And by the way, there's 100,000 things positive about the youth pastor we have around here. You're not here every day. I'm here every day. He's not your servant. He's my servant. Judge not another man's servant. I think my opinion about the job he's doing ought to have a little more weight than your opinion. Man, I'm him and Sister Liz doing a great job. And yet I got people involved in character assassination. Come on now. Stop it. Foolish. Well, you're not hurting them. You're hurting your kids. You're going to ruin your kids. Okay, I guarantee you, Brother Chad's going to make some mistakes around here. So what? So what? Okay? Well, my kids come home and said this. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. If you don't believe everything your kids go home and say about us, we won't believe everything they come here and say about you. Amen. Amen. Just because I don't call you and tell you don't mean it's not happening. Hold them in high esteem. These missionaries coming through. Boy, you ought to take your kids and let them go shake the missionary's hand. I mean, treat them like royalty. Oh, they're just, stop it. Stop it. They're God's men. They're surrendered. They're doing something you wouldn't do. Most of you wouldn't do. Come on. Let's hold them on in high esteem. Let's say, boy, I'll tell you what, these folks here, you need to shake their hand. You need to have them sign your Bible. Boy, they're going, let's get the globe out. This is where they're going. They're leaving their family. They're leaving their relatives. They're taking their children. Well, this, you know, you need to go shake their hand. Hold them in high esteem. You know, write them letters. Write our missionaries. Contact them. I'm going to do something. I think we'll do it the last Sunday night. Depends on when I get everything done. But I'm going to ask you to start praying about it. And I don't know if I'm going to try to orchestrate or direct it or just let you all do it. But I'd really like just every family in our church to just adopt one of our missionary families for the rest of 2012. Now, I want you to pray for all of them, love all of them. But just pick one out and just say, you know what? We're going to, in an extra special way, communicate with them, encourage them, sacrifice for them, contact them, pray for them, do for them. You say, preacher, what's the benefit of that? Your kids will watch you do it. That's the benefit. Your kids will watch you do it. And you know what? Go home. Watch this. Go home. Tear down the posters of a bunch of heathens that can just happen to shoot a basketball or throw a football. Never darken the doors of a church. I mean, it's amazing who our heroes have become. Man alive, put a picture of a missionary up there. You're kidding me. No, put a picture of a missionary up there. You see, we wonder why our kids want to go the way of the world when we prop all the heroes of the world up in front of them all the time and then disregard and a lot of times disrespect the servants of God. And so hold those who serve the Lord in high esteem. Number eight, raise them to love all people. And I want to say something to you, and please hear me out here. I think a lot of reason that our young people, and I think it's particularly dangerous in this part of the country, that they're not interested in the mission field is because we're raising them to be prejudiced. Just let it settle in there. Yes, sir. Why would they want to go to Africa and witness those black people after all the things Dad says about them? Right. Why would they bother going to Mexico? I mean, Dad says this about the Mexicans. Amen. Mm-hmm. Nah, I like it when it gets quiet in here. Amen. You see, I grew up here, folks. I know y'all. I know what we hear. I know what we were raised around. Shame on us. You're going to tell me God loves a certain color of skin more than another one. Jesus died for a certain color skin, kind of died for another. No, baloney. Jesus does love all the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Now, I mean that. Be careful. Well, my grandpa used to say, well, grandpa wasn't right about this. He may have been right about a lot of stuff, but he wasn't right about this. Now, folks, every single human being that's born has got an eternal soul that's going to go somewhere. And God loved, you know what's so funny about us crazy Gentiles? Is that we're prejudiced. You know what Jesus said to the Gentile woman? It's not fit for me to give bread to the dogs. He wasn't talking about blacks or Mexicans. He's talking about us white people. Us Gentile white people. Come on now. Are you listening? Are you getting this? I mean, you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that Jews rejected the Messiah, we wouldn't even probably have it. I mean, I know God's foreknowledge, but we were grafted in, folks. We were grafted in. And yet us white Gentiles are a little bit better than us. No, we're not. You know what? Jesus loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody. The gospel's for everybody. So be careful what you say. I mean this. Be careful. Number nine, be careful not to set an example of materialism before them. Because you can't serve both God and mammon. Now, folks, it doesn't mean it's a sin to have money or earn money. Money's a tool like anything else. And it should be used such. It shouldn't be something we set up on worship or give our lives to accumulate. Things are just things. Things are just things. Let me tell you what's priceless. Souls. Souls are priceless. So it's not wrong that God blesses you and allows you to have some things. But let me tell you that one of the best pieces of advice I can give you. Live simply and give generously. Just live simply, give generously. Don't get infatuated with materialism. Don't live that type of life in front of your kids where they begin to think the people that have are up here and people that have not. Nah. You're not going to take any of it with you. Neither am I. And so let's just do all we can. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. The right home atmosphere, the right encouragements towards full-time Christian service, the right involvement in evangelistic efforts, the right exposure to surrender environments, the right respect for God-ordained authority, the right involvement in sacrificial giving, the right attitude towards servants of God, the right love for all people, the right view of materialistic things, and the right tendency towards the preaching of God's word. You know what? If you put all those things together and we do that as individual families and as a church as a whole, we keep these things right, we'll not only see God allow us to produce some fruit here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but he'll allow us to produce some fruit trees. Let's keep doing that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we're given to study the Bible tonight together. And Lord, thank you for the trust the people put in me just to chat with them tonight. And Lord, we didn't wear the pages out turning it, but I really believe, Lord, if I took extra time, I have no doubt I could take Scripture and back up specifically everything I encouraged the folks tonight with. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to raise not just young Christian people, but young Christian people that want to go out and help other people find Christ. Help Blessed Hope to produce fruit. We want to. It's important. More fruit than you have. Fruit that remains. Lord, we want to do more and more. But God, we don't want to just produce fruit. We want to be able to grow this list that I went over tonight and continue to see many of our young people grow up and see the right kind of genuine, authentic Christianity. The kind that makes it easy for them at some point in their life to say, God, if you'd let me, I'd do that. If you'd call me, I'd do that, God. I'd like to do this with my life. Protect our young people. Protect our seniors, Lord. I've been praying for our seniors. And God, protect them right now. I know, Satan, it seems like every single one of our seniors will go through a time where Satan kind of makes a bid for them. And boy, we got some good kids. Lord, just keep the hedge tight around them. Keep them encouraged. Keep their eyes on the right things, Lord. Don't let the devil get in. Just help them, Lord, to do with their lives exactly what you want them to do. The Lord, direct each of us. Help us, dear God, set the right example in front of them. We pray, please.